We are in a series on Joy to the World. This is the 300th anniversary of that great old Christmas carol. And we're not just celebrating the Christmas carol, we're trying to find a pathway to joy that lies in Bethlehem this morning and all the weeks leading up to Christmas. And so this morning we are looking at the carpenter's change order, and we are in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, this morning we're looking at Joseph and the carpenter's change order. I don't know if you've had much dealings with carpenters. Anyone? Maybe you've had a project out there. Maybe you put on an addition to your home. Maybe you put on a patio or some kind of a project. Maybe you've built a little shed. Or maybe you've tried to do that yourself and had to call on a carpenter. And I was one of those people. In fact, I wanted to do this small project. Anyone do little small projects around the house at all, and they turned out bigger than what you thought? So I had this set of stairs that led out to the patio in the back of the house, and it was never done right. It was sturdy, but it was never done right. It didn't look good. And so one of the things I wanted to do a couple years ago when I made an addition to the patio was to pull out those steps. And I knew that that would be a fairly easy job. All I had to do was kind of take out a fairly big hammer and just knock it around a little bit, and then it would just come off. So I didn't draw up any plans, of course, and so I started hammering away on this set of stairs, and I found out they were in there just a little bit harder and deeper than what I thought. And so I thought, you know, I'm a Jeep guy. I drive a Jeep, and a Jeep has got four-wheel drive, and I can take care of this with my Jeep. I'll just, you know, sort of put a rope around the stairs, and I'll just pull that off. Won't be anything to it. So that's what I did. I pulled into the backyard. My neighbors watched me, wondering what he's doing this time. Put the tow rope around the stairs, and I put it in gear, and I went forward. Now, I will tell you that I did pull off those stairs, but I also pulled off the planking underneath the sliding glass door, the French door, and that was pretty ugly. So there it was. Now, it did need some repairs, don't get me wrong, but that was not the day that I planned to do it. So I called up a real carpenter, a man who's done some work before, and I said, "Listen, I've got this little problem." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, I think I pulled up part of my back of my house, so can you come on over before it rains and help me out?" And of course he came over and inspected it, and he did what you should do probably, is to drop a plan and made it better than it was, and so we got through that. But you know, carpenters are interesting people, aren't they? They draw up a plan, and they like no surprises, right? They like to measure twice and cut once. They like to use a plumb line. They like to use a level. Now, it's interesting because Joseph is often called the forgotten man of the Bible. We don't really see Joseph much. We see him in this narrative in Matthew. We see him in Luke. Then we don't really see him too much. So we don't know much about his life except for one thing. There's an interesting detail later in the book of Matthew, which most of us has sort of grabbed onto. It says when Jesus was doing some healings in his hometown, people asked who this was, and they said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" The carpenter's son, isn't that interesting? That God, when God was planning on an earthly father for Jesus, decided that it would be a carpenter. Now, not a chef, which could be admirable, and not a pipe fitter, and not a map maker or something like that, but a carpenter. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think this little piece of information is important as we look into the story of Jesus and the story of Joseph as it revolves around Jesus, which is very, very important, is that in this moment in Joseph's life, He probably had a plan. He was a carpenter, after all. I mean, he had things planned out for his wedding. He had probably a nice wedding trellis he was going to make in his carpentry shop. In fact, we had a drama this morning that showed that possibility. And he probably had everything laid out for the wedding, maybe the honeymoon, perhaps the new home, new addition. And he was thinking about kids and the future, maybe even retirement way, way, way down the road. But then all of a sudden, he had a change order. And sometimes when we're doing projects and we want a carpenter to change something, we need a change order, and that changes everything. And so God threw Joseph a change order. And I wonder how he felt about that, because that was a pretty large change order. Would you agree? And so Joseph, you know, his plans were that he was going to marry his fiancée, Mary. He was going to have a baby down the road, but all of a sudden Mary came in with a change order, and that change order was, I'm with child, and it's from the Lord. Now, Joseph didn't get the message at first from the angel, and this was a huge change order in his life. This disrupted everything. The person had a plan that had everything measured twice, cut once, the plumb line, the level, all those kinds of things. Perhaps like some of us with our lives. Do you have some plans that you've laid out for your life, and you like things to go smoothly as planned? And so it was with Joseph. And so Joseph decided this disrupted things way too much. And so he was going to not disgrace Mary, but put her away privately. And then while he was asleep, in a dream, an angel of the Lord came to him and said, Joseph, Mary is with child, and do not be afraid, but this will be Emmanuel, God with us. This will be Jesus come to save us from our sins. And so Joseph woke up. And Joseph had a choice, I think, that all of us have, although in different circumstances, which was to accept the change order from God and change his life or disregard it. And Joseph chose to accept the change order from God. And that couldn't have been a very easy thing for Joseph. But he decided to change all the plans that he had. He decided to follow God's plan. And Joseph discovered a very interesting truth, I think. Joseph discovered the truth that sometimes when we surrender to the plan of God, we find out, we discover that God's plan is greater and bigger and more wonderful than any plan that we ever had. But sometimes it comes in the form of a change order, right? And you know the change orders in your life sometimes, don't you, too, right? You might receive a pink slip in the mail. You might receive a phone call. You might receive someone who's breaking up with you. You might decide to retire, and everything is completely different than what you had planned. But here's the secret, I think, that we see in the life of Joseph. If we're willing to take a step of faith and to accept the change order from God, we can discover, like Joseph, that God's plan is greater and bigger and more wonderful than any plan that we could ever have. Now, I think there's at least two secrets that Joseph had that he learned in that moment that helped him with that. And the first is to trust. To trust God. And it's not an easy thing because, you know, Joseph was asleep when he heard the voice of the angel. Mary was awake when she saw Gabriel. Joseph could have easily woke up and said, that was a bad dream. That was something that I ate. But Joseph decided that he'd trust God. And he decided that step by step, he would take Mary as his wife. He would go on that trail to Bethlehem, something else he hadn't planned. And then he would knock door to door throughout Bethlehem, trying to find an open inn, only to find they're all closed. And then finally, one gracious innkeeper to open a stable. And that was the only place they had. And so Joseph the carpenter found a manger and maybe made that manger even better and put his carpentry skills to the test. But in that step of trust, step by step, Joseph found that the way to Bethlehem led to the way to look the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, face to face in that manger and to realize in that moment how much that God loved all of us to share our weaknesses, our hurts, all of our challenges, all of our adversity, and to show us the way of love and life. Then Joseph not only had to trust, but he had to obey, and that's the next step in trust, and it's never easy either. Joseph had to learn to obey the voice of the Lord each step of the way. Joseph had to take his family to Egypt, and that was not an easy thing. Joseph eventually found his way back, and then step by step, Joseph taught Jesus the ways of the carpenter. And that's interesting, isn't it? And I wonder along the way if Joseph didn't share that change order that he originally got with Jesus. And that Jesus learned how a carpenter handles a change order. And that he learns to make room for a bigger and better and more wonderful plan. And I wonder, too, Jesus was growing some point in life. We don't know exactly when it happened, but Jesus became aware that he was very special as God's only begotten Son. And at some point, Jesus was aware that he would find the miracle of wood in a new way, which was a way of hurt, but a gift of love, as he would give his life on the cross. And maybe even when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, "Not my will, but thine be done," he remembered that change order to his father, to his dad, Joseph, who opened his life to God's plan in a new way. And Jesus did accept the change order from God. And so Jesus was taught the path of trust and obedience from Joseph. What might God be leading you to this morning? Maybe it is that change that isn't very easy. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's that meeting with the doctor or some other thing that you hadn't planned that came out of the blue, and at first it disrupts your whole life with this different plan, this different view, this different outlook, this different pathway of life. What will you do? Will you just reject it, or will you just put it in God's hands for a few moments and pray like Joseph to open your life to a greater, bigger, more wonderful pathway than you ever dreamed of before? It might be opening your life to the needs of those around you, a new mission, a new ministry, whatever it is, that you can make an impact in your life in a different way with those around you and to share God's love, to learn to trust and to learn to obey. You never know how it might happen. I had a friend when I lived in Virginia Beach, and she did not grow up in a church, and she did not grow up in a church family. She did not read the Bible much at all, and we began to talk a lot about God and God's plan and purpose for her life and God's love for her life. And I encouraged her to read some books. I'm kind of a book person, and I read the Bible a lot. And she wasn't much interested in books. She wasn't a book person. She was an artist. And she wasn't much interested in the Bible. She was an artist, and she was very creative. She did calligraphy and all kinds of works of art, still does to this day. But she began on this pathway of faith, and she was sort of praying to God to open some door in her life to make his presence real and more known, and that God's love was real in her life. And so she was praying and praying, and that went on for some time. And then one afternoon, I got this phone call from her. And she said, "You're never going to believe what happened." And I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "God spoke to me." And I said, "Tell me about that." And she said, I was driving down the interstate, and I was just kind of saying, "God, you know, what's going on here?" And all of a sudden, I was cut off by a truck. And I said, "Okay, tell me more." And she said, and the truck cut me off, and all of a sudden, on the back of the truck, I looked up, and there it said, G-O-D, in huge letters, and then in small letters, guaranteed overnight delivery. She said, "That was God." And God spoke to me in that moment and said, "I care about you, and I'm going to open a pathway for you." And I said, "Okay." But I believe it was God. Now, you don't know. I'm not saying go look for a truck to cut you off, okay? God did that for her alone. It was special. It was unique to her. But sometimes when we open our hearts and lives to the workings of God's Holy Spirit, amazing things can happen. You know, God's Spirit in the Scriptures, in the Hebrew Scriptures, is referred to often as Ruach, which means wind. Holy Spirit is like a wind. And I heard someone once say that you cannot tell where the wind goes and where it comes from, but you can adjust your sail. And I think that's true about the Holy Spirit. You don't always know where the Holy Spirit is going to take you and where it's going to blow, but you can adjust your sail and adjust your life and find you that wind will take you onto a new pathway. And new vistas will open before you, new horizons, new moments of ministry and mission in life that you may never have dreamed of before. But you can know this, just like Joseph, that wherever you go, wherever God's plan takes you, that God will be faithful. And if you trust and obey God, God will do amazing things. I wonder what scripture Joseph thought of when he was interrupted in that change order from God. I wonder if it was that one that we read this morning earlier that Dixie shared with us from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. If you trust the Lord and acknowledge him in all your ways, God will make his path known to you. God will open the door if you lean on him and trust in his understanding. I encourage us today, as God opens our hearts and lives on that journey to Bethlehem, to discover the pathway of joy. And the only way we really can discover the pathway of joy is to open our hearts and lives to God's change order in life. It'll be a change that may make you uncomfortable for a moment or two. It may open new doors and new horizons. But know, like Joseph, that whatever pathway God takes you on, that God will be present with you, and God will open amazing doors that you never dreamed possible. So like Joseph, learn to trust and learn to obey, and know that God's plan is even greater than anything that we could ever imagine. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you for Joseph, this amazing person of faith that we just catch a small glimpse of in Scripture. Lord, help us, like him, to be able to take a change order that surprised us and even at times made us fearful, and to have faith in you, have faith in your plan and purpose, and to learn to trust and obey, knowing that you are faithful. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.